All right, good morning, everybody. We have two more weeks left of 3 John, this week and next week. So if you can, turn to 3 John. We'll be going over verses 11 and 12 today. And today's title is, Don't Be Discouraged. We're going to be recapping sort of what we've gone over in the first 10 verses real quick. Because it all has to do with when we're talking about this and we're talking about good works, evil works, what we're going to be talking about is in context to the scripture, to what he's writing. Because we can go out of context and go into all these different things that are good works or good deeds. But what we're going to be talking about is, and what John was talking about, was what he was writing about. And so, at the very beginning, he's writing to Gaius, who was a friend of his, or probably one that he helped train and bring up and mentored. He taught. Now this is a different Gaius than who we find in the book of Acts, the book of Romans, the book of 1 Corinthians. It's different. That was a very popular name back then. But what he's saying, how he starts it out, he's saying, I hope that your spirit is as healthy as your body. Or your body is as healthy as your spirit. Because he knew that this man's spirit was strong. He knew that this man's spirit was healthy. He knew that this man had a relationship with God. And then he goes into saying how happy he is that he's hearing good news about this man. And then he goes into his faith, how faithful he has been by helping out missionaries. And by him helping out missionaries, he's taking part in the missions field with them. And then last week when we were talking about, there's a man that didn't want to help out traveling missionaries, didn't want to help out the traveling teachers. He wanted to just hold on to everything himself. He, in fact, even went to the point of if anybody did help out the traveling teachers and missionaries, then he would kick them out of the church. He would excommunicate them. And that's very often what happens. Even today, there are some churches that will get to that point because, like I was talking about last week, they want to hold on to some sort of power. They want to hold on to something, onto their leadership, onto an aspect of Christianity that isn't really the relationship with God, but more of what they're getting out of it. And so today, he starts off in verse 11 by saying, Dear friend, don't let this bad example influence you. Follow only what is good. Remember that those who do good prove that they are God's children. Those who do evil prove they do not know God. Everyone speaks highly of Demetrius, as does the truth itself. We ourselves can say the same for him. You know we speak the truth. So when you're looking at those two verses, they don't seem to quite go together. So we're going to dive a little bit into how those are linked. But what I wanted to get at is, they're at the very beginning where he says, do not let this bad example influence you. Or in some versions, it will say, do not be discouraged by this bad example. Follow only what is good. And so, when we think of things that are good, when he's referring to only follow what is good, what would he be referring to? Because if we look at this world, there's a lot of good things that this world does. There's a lot of charitable things that this world does. There's a lot of nice things that this world does. Most of the time, good in the eyes of the world is deeds that you do. But what John is referring to here is following after the truth or following after the gospel. Because he's telling him all about the traveling teachers and the missionaries and what they're doing, what they're bringing, and how what they're doing is good. So he's saying follow after the message that God has to give. Because that's the only thing that's going to be good. That's the only thing that's going to be truthful. And then he goes on, remember that those who do good prove that they are God's children, and those who do evil prove that they do not know God. So first of all, what we need to do here, before we get into how we're proven that we're a child of God or a child of, or not a child of God, is how is it that we are defined as a child of God? In Romans, it talks about how by our faith, we are made children of God. In Hebrews, it talks about through the Holy Spirit, because of our faith, we are children of God. Jesus even called people the children of God because of their faith. And so the way that we are made children of God is by our faith in Jesus Christ. And what I mean by faith is not just saying, oh, I believe in Jesus, but actually putting it to action. Living our life in a way that is worthy of his calling. I'm not necessarily talking about the deeds that you do, but more and more about the change in your life. Because God, if you are truly following and seeking after God and you are a child of God, he's not going to leave you the same way that you were. He's going to be changing you. He's going to be molding you. He's going to be perfecting you. He's going to be bringing up stuff in your life that might not necessarily be the easiest thing for you to understand or comprehend or even want to deal with, but he's going to push you because he wants to make you a better person. He wants to make you the best person you can be. And then after, once we become a child of God, how we can prove that we are a child of God is in our deeds. Now, this is where context is key. Because what John is not getting at, he's not getting at feeding the poor. He's not getting at taking care of the elderly. He's not getting at visiting the prisons. He's not getting at all the good deeds you can do. But more what he's getting at is how you treat other people. Because remember, like what we were talking about last week, this man, he didn't want to help others. He wanted to push them out on their own. He didn't want other people to help others. Instead, he wanted everything for himself. Now, in the way that he's talking about helping others is getting the gospel out. And so how we can prove that we are a child of God, one way is, what's the message that we are giving? When you talk to people, do you actually ever bring up Jesus in your life? Do you ever talk to them about what God has done for you? Do you ever refer them back? If somebody were to look at your life, would it be a direct pointing to Jesus, or would you just look like everybody else? One way that we could prove that we are a child of God is that we're always pointing back to God. Think about it when you were a child. Who did you look up to? Most of the time, when we look up to somebody in our life as a child, it's either our mom or our dad or somebody that is very close to us that is helping raise us, that is being a good example. And we hold them in such a high esteem that oftentimes, if you get the chance, you're going to brag about something that they did or how great they are. And so if we are a child of God and we have that perfect example, we should be taking any and every opportunity that we can to share about how good our God is. Like that last song that we sang, the heart of worship, when when we come in on Sunday mornings and what we sing, that's not worship. That's praise. Worship is how you live your life. Worship is your devotion to God. And that's how we prove if we are a child of God. Is your devotion to God, your devotion to your work, is your devotion to something other than God? Is your devotion to your family? Which, don't get me wrong, what I'm saying is that you shouldn't neglect your family. Never neglect your family. But within your family, are you pointing back to God? Are you being that example to your children? Are you being that example to your spouse? Are you being that example to everybody that is in within your family? And so, when you make your devotion to God, everything else seems to line up so much better. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect. You're never going to stress out. You're never going to have a bad day. You're never going to lose it. We all do. We all are human. Especially if you have kids. They just know how to press those buttons all the time. Like my two little girls, I'll ask them to clean up their closet. And then they'll go into their closet and I'll walk through and they're hanging stuff up. And I kid you not, 5 minutes later, I walk back in, that closet is five times worse than where it was. And it's just like, what did you do? Just take everything off the hangers and just throw it on the ground? They know how to press our buttons. But when we talk to them, and we blow up, and if you have kids, I'm pretty sure you have, at one point or another, you've blown up at them. Do we then go and ask for forgiveness from them? Do you then try to use that as a teachable moment, showing that you're not perfect, but yet God still loves you? Do you use that as a moment of humility? Or do you say, they deserved it? They weren't listening. You try to justify your anger. There are times where I've had it where I've tried to justify it in my mind. Like, they just weren't listening. I've been getting on to them for the last 45 minutes. I've been getting on to them for however long. I've gone in there and I helped them, and then they still didn't do it. And you try to justify all these things. It's usually if you're having to get to a point where you're justifying to yourself an action, then you probably didn't do the action right. If you're having to justify that action. Because now you're trying to make yourself feel better. Those are the points where we can then, in our devotion to God, humbly go before our children, ask for forgiveness. Point out to them that you made a mistake. Point out to them that you didn't just wrong them, but you also wronged God. It's a point to where you can teach them a very valuable lesson. Now, I'm not saying that every single time you discipline a child that you're in the wrong. What I'm talking about is when you tend to over-discipline. Because our children learn from us. They either learn to become just like us, or they learn to become the opposite of us. Some aspects of my life, I've learned from my parents on how to be. And from just watching my parents, there are some aspects of my life I'm like, I don't ever want to be that way. Not because they did it wrong, but I believe we learn, or we can learn, from other people's mistakes as well. But are we proving that we're a child of God, or are we proving that we never even knew who God was? Because doing good is showing our devotion to God. Doing good is giving His message out, not our own. Whereas, right after that, where it says, and those who do evil prove that they do not know God. Or in some versions where it says, they have not seen God. And so evil, once again, doesn't mean that they're necessarily doing evil acts, but it has to do more with the message that they're giving. It has to do with more with who they're pointing to. The man that was previous, he obviously was not pointing to God, because if he was pointing to God, he would not mind sharing in ministry with other people. But he wanted to hold on to it himself. He wanted to hold on to the authority. And so what he was doing is he was pointing to himself. If you crossed him, then you were out. And so his message was not that of God. He may have been, when he is talking to people, when he is teaching people, he may have been mentioning Jesus, or he may have been talking about the gospel, but his life did not line up with that. And so he pushed people away. And that's why John is saying, look, don't let that bad example influence you to do bad because he seems to be getting away with it. He's not. Remember what is good. Seek after what is good. Continue to do the good work, such as helping other missionaries, traveling teachers, other people in ministry. Help them. Don't push them away. Prove that you are a child of God. The message that you give out is what's important. You consider yourself to be a child of God this morning? Really think about your life. Do your actions, does your lifestyle, does your mental state reflect that? If it doesn't, then what God is wanting to tell you this morning is it's not too late. You want to be a child of God? Then all you have to do is have faith in Him. You have to seek after Him. Like how it talks in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. And what he's referring to there is your food, clothing, all of it will be given to you. The things that you need, God will provide for. Now, he's not just going to lay it on your doorstep. A lot of times, you will have to work for what you need. Well, God will always provide a way for you to get what you need. There are several pastors that I know that gave up six-figure jobs to become either a youth pastor or an associate pastor or something to get into ministry, not knowing where their next paycheck was going to come from. But because they showed their devotion to God and they sought after what God had told them to seek after, there would be checks that would just arrive. Bills would just be paid. Things would be taken care of. But it took a lot of faith on their part just to do what God had asked them to do. It's not just those that go into ministry that God looks after. No, He looks after every single person. He wants to take care of His children. Just like my children, I want to take care of them. But yet I also want them to learn what it means to work. I'm not just talking about at a job, but I'm talking about in life and in a relationship. It takes work. I can always tell if something's going on with me spiritually based upon how my kids act with each other. If I'm not being that good example, they follow after my bad habits. I could tell usually with Becca and Judah because their attitude changes based upon mine and Allison's attitude. If we're having a hard time, if we're struggling and we're getting stressed out and we raise our temper and we start lashing out a little bit more, especially in Becca, who's little mommy junior, she loves to take in charge. She starts mimicking the way that we are. Yesterday, it hit me. It hit me hard in the fact that I was doing something around the house. Don't remember what it was at this point. But Becca, Judah, and Ember were in doing the dishes. It's not hard. We have a dishwasher. Rinse it off, put it in the dishwasher, right? Well, Emmy starts whining that Becca's not letting her do something. And then Becca snaps at Emmy. Like, hard. Starts yelling at her. And as I go in there, I noticed that my initial reaction was to get on to Becca, was to yell at Becca, to get on to her. And it's like, wait, she's doing exactly what I want to do. Which made me then think about it. Okay, I can't go in there like that. She's learning from me. Our kids learn how to be children of God based upon our example. Our kids learn how to interact with other people based upon our example. That's why in Proverbs it says, train your children in the way of the Lord, so that way when they grow up, they won't depart from it. We have to teach them what it means to follow after God. We have to prove to them that we are a child of God. We have to prove to them that we actually believe what we teach. We have to prove to them that being a Christian means more than just going to church on Sunday. It means more than just praying for your food. It means more than just praying with them once a day or once a week or once a month, whatever it may be. It's more than just that. It's a lifelong devotion. And in that devotion, we have to also show them that we make mistakes. When we make those mistakes, we have to show them how we own up to those mistakes. How we want them to own up to their mistakes. How many of you don't have to raise your hand, but think about it, because I've done it. How many of you have spanked your kid for hitting another kid? Isn't that kind of the pot calling the kettle black? You're hitting your child because your child hit another child. Like I said, I've done that. And every time that I've done it, I'm like, what am I doing? I am not living that example. Now, there are times I do believe in spanking if it's appropriate. If it actually gets a message across to them. But hitting them for hitting a kid might not get the point across. There are times where I've had to go to my kids plenty of times and ask for forgiveness. But we have to show them that we could be wrong. We're not perfect human beings. If all that our kids see in us is us acting like we're perfect, like everything that we do is justified perfectly, then that's what they're going to grow up thinking. And they're going to think that our actions were always okay. And so how is it that we prove, or how is it that you're proving that you're a child of God? How are you proving to your coworkers? We talked about children, we talked about your family. Now how do you prove to your coworkers or people that you come in contact with that you are a child of God? Well, what's interesting is how we prove to them is very much how we prove to our children. They have to see that us, being Christians, know that we're not perfect. We own up to our mistakes. One thing that my boss likes is he knows that if I make a mistake, I'm not going to throw somebody else under the bus for my mistake. I'm not going to blame it on somebody else. Even if sometimes it is the other person's fault, I'll take the blame for it. Why? Because I'm just some super holy Christian that just loves to take abuse? No. Because I don't want to cause more issues than there has to be. I want to find reconciliation. I want to find a resolution. Not just more problems. And I believe that's what a child of God does, is they don't want to cause more issues. They want to resolve more issues. Just like with how God treats us and our sins and our faults, how he just wants to move on. He doesn't want us to dwell on the fact that we messed up. He doesn't want us to completely put all of our focus, all of our attention, all of our energy, all of our strength into why we messed up. But more, he wants us to focus on what is the solution to our mess up? How is it that we can move forward through our mess ups? And every single time when we mess up, the only way through it is through Jesus Christ. It's through the Holy Spirit. It's through the guiding of God. And so that's what we have to show our coworkers, is that we're sinners just like they are. We're not somebody that's standing on a soapbox looking down at everybody else, but we are sinners. And that we need God. Because like I said, everything about us proving if we're a child of God is our message. If we are standing on a soapbox and we are looking down at people and always accusing people of their sins and of their wrongs and everything that they do is not worthy enough for our attention. And I know that we've all ran into Christians that are like that, that just look down on everybody. Think that they're high and mighty, that they're holier than thou. If we're doing that, then we don't know who God is. Because God says that we are all sinners. Every single one of us. There's not one righteous, not one. But we are only made righteous through Jesus Christ. And so when we stand up on our soapboxes and look down, what it is you are now doing something that is evil. the message that you're giving out may be turn or burn. It may be that they are sinners. It may be that you're referring to Jesus Christ. But what you're doing is not a healthy way of doing it. When you look at the ministry of Jesus, there's only a handful of times where he completely went in and tore people up. Probably the most famous one is when he went into the temple and started throwing tables around and making whips out of cords and driving people out. He did that because of their abuse of God. But every other time that we see Jesus and his interaction with other people, he didn't prove how high and mighty he is. He proved his love for them. He went and ate with sinners and tax collectors before they were converted, before they gave their life to him, before they became followers of him. He went and ate with them. He had fellowship with them. The Pharisees saw it and they're like, look, how can he be so good? He's eating with sinners and tax collectors. And he points out, look, you don't go to a doctor when you're well. You go to a doctor when you're sick. And so he didn't come for those that thought that they were well. He came for those that knew that they were sick, knew that they needed him, knew that they needed more. And so doing something that is evil isn't just being mean and cruel and abusive. Doing things that are evil in this context is refusing to help those that are in ministry, refusing to help those that are doing the will of God, refusing to help others. And the message that you're giving is that it's all about you. And so just think about it. Who are you proving, or what are you proving in your life? Following God does require a lot of tough decisions. Nowhere in the Bible does it say following God is easy. Jesus even said the exact opposite. Multiple times to his disciples and to other people that wanted to follow after him. At one point, in three different occurrences, Jesus had pointed out to people, look, I don't know where I'm going to lay my head. I don't know where I'm going to get my next meal. I don't know what's going to come up for you guys. Obviously, he did. But what he's pointing at is that being a follower of God means that you're willing to give up everything, the luxuries of your life. It means that you have to be willing to give up your own agenda. And sometimes even turn away from other people. Turn away from people that are harming to you spiritually. People that aren't equally yoked with you. Turning away from those that are going to pull you back as opposed to letting you go into further into a relationship with God. Following after God, being a child of God, also means that you have to actually trust in God. You have to have your faith in God. To where when God says, go, you go. Where when God says, okay, I want you to leave that aspect of your life and go and do this, you'll be like those pastors that I told you about or the other people that got into ministry or any form of thing. They're like, okay, I'm going to trust in you that you're going to take care of everything else that I need you to take care of. Just like my children, they trust me completely. Well, almost trust me completely. There's a few aspects where they don't, such as taking out their teeth. But for the most part, when Judah and Becca were younger, they'll be up on a playground and I'll be standing near it. They'll be on the very top and they'll jump off. As they're jumping, they're like, "Dad, catch me." And they had complete trust that I was going to look up, put my arms up, and catch them. There are a few times where I wasn't necessarily ready. I never dropped them, but they jumped like right into me. It didn't feel good, but they trusted me completely. They knew that I wouldn't let them purposely get hurt. And then there's times where they don't trust what I say. How many of you stuck anything metal into an outlet before? I would love to say I only did it once. I was stubborn. Didn't learn my lesson the first 5 times. But how many times did my parents tell me, don't stick that fork in the outlet. Don't stick that butter knife in the outlet. Don't stick that in there. Well, each time I thought, well, it's going to be different this time. I had to learn my lesson. As I got older, one of my mom's favorite things to say is, he'll only do it once. Oh, I had to prove her wrong on that. I was just that stupid. Or that stubborn. It's the same way that God is with us. He's telling us, look, don't do that. Stay away from that. Those people, they're not going to help you. Stay away from whatever it may be. Put down the phone. Step away from the computer. Get away from that music. Get away from that group of people. Whatever it may be, they're not going to be helpful for you. And then we stay with it. We keep going. It causes more issues in our life than it solves. Being a child of God means that you're willing to listen to God. Because He's your Father. He wants what's best for you. He doesn't want you to be discouraged by your mess-ups. He doesn't want you to be discouraged if you're not hitting the mark every single time. He doesn't want you to be discouraged if you mess up. But He wants you to be encouraged that He is still your God, He is still your Father, and He still loves you. Just like your parents in this world are probably the ones that had your back every single time, no matter how many times you messed up, no matter how many times you screwed up, no matter how many times you stabbed them in the back, they were usually the ones that will be right there when you need help. God is the same way. He's there immediately. You need Him, He's there. Even when you don't need Him, He's there. He's there to help you pick up the pieces. He's there to help you move forward. He's there to say, you know what, I love you and I forgive you. He's there to help you figure out where the next best place to go is. He's there to help you see more clearly His vision. He is there to help you get your life in order. You feel like your life is in chaos, He's there to get it in order. You feel as though everything is against you, He's there to show you that you're not alone. It's one of the greatest promises that we have is that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will never turn His back on us. He will always be right there next to us. He doesn't leave us on our own. And what's awesome about that is the fact that He will send people there next to you to help you carry on. He will give you the patience and the endurance to deal with other people. Sometimes your own children. Sometimes your parents. Sometimes your siblings. but he will give you the endurance to deal with people. He'll give us the patience to deal with the chaos going on around us. He'll give us that calm in the storm. He'll give us the peace when we need it. But he's also like a parent. We mess up. He's also faithful to bring about the consequences. Being a follower of God doesn't mean that you get away free. But he loves to forgive us. He loves to take our mistakes and make it towards his glory. He doesn't want you to be where you're at. He doesn't want you to be discouraged, thinking that you've messed up beyond all forgiveness. But he wants you to know that every single time you mess up, he's there to help you. He doesn't want you to be discouraged by how many people are rejecting his message. He doesn't want you to be discouraged by an opportunity that you sought after failed. He doesn't want you to be discouraged by anything and everything that comes into your life, but he wants you to be encouraged in the fact that he has it in his control. That he already knows what he wants in your life. We just have to be willing to listen and follow it. And we have to be like this man that it talks about in verse 12, where this man, Demetrius, that he follows after the truth. So he gave a bad example or a negative example of that other guy. And now he's saying, look, but this man, Demetrius, he follows the truth. He is the one that you should be taking as an example. He is the one you should be looking at, not to promote Demetrius, but the fact that Demetrius is, he does the truth. He seeks after the truth. And because of that, people speak highly of him. Because he is doing what God has asked him to do, because he is a follower of God, because he actually has a relationship with God, others speak highly of him. He has proven that he's a child of God. And then he goes, we ourselves can say the same for him. You know we speak the truth. So how is it they know that he speaks the truth? Because those of you that knew last week, I was going to have a meeting with some people of another congregation that wanted to use this facility. And I talked with them. And I prayed about it. I sought God. I talked to my mother-in-law. And I don't think it'd be the best thing for this church to rent out to them. Why? Because of how they were talking, what they were saying. That they knew that somebody was something based upon the way that they felt. Not based upon the person's actions, not based upon the scripture, but the way that they felt about this person. Well, that doesn't prove anything to anybody. And so what he's talking about here, and you know we speak the truth because the truth proves to be true 100% of the time. Not 90% of the time, not 80% of the time, has nothing to do with feelings, has everything to do with being the truth. God says that he won't leave us or forsake us. But he also tells us that we have to seek him In order to see His will, in order to know His will, in order for us to see how He's taking care of us, we have to seek after Him. And when you do, you will see exactly how He's taking care of you. That Jesus is the only one that died and was resurrected. He wasn't just resurrected so the 12 could see Him. At one point, over 500 people saw Him after His resurrection. He is the one that goes against every other religion. Every other religion says it's what you can do, where He says, no, it's look, it's what I've already done. The truth is not subjective. The truth is the truth. It holds up against all tests. And so that's how John was able to prove that they speak the truth. Not a truth, not your truth, but the truth. And so, can people trust what you have to say? That links back to, how are you proving that you're a child of God? Because if you're proving that you're a child of God, then what you say, people can trust. Because your message is always pointing back to God. Your message is that of encouragement, not discouragement. Your message is that of uplifting, not tearing down. Your message is that of power. Your message is clear, it's concise, and it's life-changing. It's not a motivational speech, but it is life-changing. So think about this next week. That's my challenge to you guys, is what are you proving? Are you proving that you're a child of God? Or are you proving that you're not a child of God? If it turns out that you're proving that you're not a child of God and you want to become a child of God, seek after God. Pray to Him. Open up the Word. Start with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read the book of Romans. Seek after Him and His righteousness, and He'll take care of you. Let's pray. God, we just praise You for this morning. I would ask that You would go before us, that You would light the path unto us. Allow us just to see You more clearly. Allow us to seek after You more fervently, Lord God. And I just ask that You would convict us of our wrongs. Allow us just to prove that we are a child of God and that we do seek after You and we do love You. Lord God, allow our relationship to become stronger and more steady. And just ask that You would be with us as we go our separate ways. Allow us to encourage one another and lift each other up. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I hope you guys have a good day. And if you want, stay around for the meeting. We appreciate